Crossbreed Holster Studios. 10 years on the air and 10 years on target. This is Armed American Radio.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
We're making the Second Amendment great again.
I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed citizens from coast to coast. Here is your host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's monster broadcast here in hour two. We're going to have some fun with you today. In this hour, AWR Hawkins is going to be here. Rob Pincus is going to be here for the pro tip of the week. I missed him last week. I forgot that he was traveling out to Reno. But I've been in contact with Rob, and we're going to go ahead and lock him up for that fourth segment on the Personal Defense Network Pro Tip of the Week this week. So looking forward to seeing what he has to say and having to be quiet during that time period. Every time Rob's on, I have to shut my mouth, and it's tough to do. Before we go to AWR Hawkins in the next segment, I'm going to keep him for two segments. I want to go back to the Naval Air Station Pensacola shooting with you. I could not believe, I came to Georgia from Florida where I lived for many years. I did not understand, and I hate to use this word loophole, but this truly is a loophole in my estimation. How did a Saudi national who is here briefly training acquire lawfully his firearm in Florida? Well, apparently, the FBI had warned months ago, I don't know who they warned, that foreign nationals are actually able to purchase a gun in the United States, a firearm. Think about this for a second. If you have a hunting license, I did some digging into this over the week. And I was blown away by this. I looked at that story and I thought, like you, how does a Saudi national come over here and lawfully purchase a handgun and then use it in a shooting spree? What did he do to get that lawfully? Well, he obtained a hunting license. By having a hunting license in the state of Florida, he was able to purchase a handgun lawfully. The gunman who killed three people at the Naval Air Station Pensacola acquired his gun legally at a Florida retailer because he had that piece of paper, because he had a Florida hunting license. Yahoo News is where I found that. I believe AWR Hawkins wrote about that. Won't have any time to get into that because I'm talking with you about it right now. But FBI, here's the headline at Yahoo News. FBI warned 6 months ago about loophole Pensacola shooter used to obtain a gun. The FBI warning was dated May 22nd, and it was titled, Federal Hunting License Exception Could Be Exploited by Extremists or Criminal Actors Seeking to Obtain Firearms for Violent Attacks. Now, that was, according to Yahoo, came from the Bureau's Office of Private Sector. And Yahoo News, I know, right? Yeah, whatever, it's actually there. I'm reading it, I know. I hate to refer to them, but sometimes you get some great pieces from these folks. But it was sent from their Office of Private Sector, and Yahoo News reviewed it. And the warning, according to Yahoo News, get this now, encouraged businesses to be aware that extremists and other criminal actors could exploit the federal statutory exception that allows non-immigrant visa holders who normally can't buy firearms or ammo to legally purchase them with a valid hunting license or permit. Now, I'm going to guess that loophole exists because there are people who want to come to the United States to hunt, etc. But I did not know. I had no idea that they could actually purchase a firearm with that hunting license. I had no idea that that existed. So mind you, when I saw that, we touched on it last week. But I thought, how could that be? We wanted to look into that. And Yahoo, believe it or not, Yahoo News was the first one I saw that wrote about it. And I want to quote from this. I think this is interesting because this should never have happened. this man should not have been able to purchase a firearm. We're all in agreement on that. No Saudi national or any national should be able to come into this country and be able to legally obtain a firearm under any of these conditions. The warning goes on to note that foreign terrorist organizations, including ISIS, have encouraged Westerners to exploit perceived gaps in gun laws to conduct mass casualty shooting attacks in their home countries, and that foreign national visa holders could use this hunting license exception to obtain firearms to commit violence in the homeland. ISIS knew this. I didn't know this. Did you know this? ISIS knew it. Wonder if there's going to be a connection there. Well, guess what? They're going to be hush-hush about this now. We may not ever hear about this cat ever again because they don't want us to know. Mainstream press isn't going to talk about it. They've pretty much dropped it for the most part, and they've moved on to impeachment. But it's interesting because apparently this has been, I guess this has been used before. This warning is strikingly similar, according to Yahoo News, to the circumstances surrounding the shooting at Naval Air Station Pensacola. Because keep in mind that this is exactly what this guy did. So I've jumped a little ahead here. I didn't mean to do that. But it just reiterates that this warning was clearly exploited by this individual. When ISIS knows these things, most American citizens didn't know that. I thought that was disgusting, quite frankly. It was, the gun was actually bought at Uber's Lock and Gun, the Pensacola retailer that sold the gun to Al Shamrani. They've declined to comment for this piece on whether the store had received the bulletin from the FBI. Two other Florida gun retailers, according to Yahoo, told Yahoo News that they had not received the FBI report and were unaware of the Bureau's Office of Private Sector. Did you ever hear of the Office of Private Sector? I've never heard of the Office of Private Sector. I'm telling you that right now. I did not know who they were. The owner of a third Florida gun shop told Yahoo News he does receive bulletins from the FBI office, but he didn't recall that report on the hunting license loophole. So is that actually a loophole? I would, yes, as I said, in my estimation, I would consider that to be a loophole. No doubt about it. Here's what I do know. No foreign national should be able to come to this country and exploit anything to be able to legally purchase a firearm in this country, period. Particularly when the FBI knew about it, and particularly when ISIS knew about it. So that begs the questions then, doesn't it? Because I have a bunch of them. If the FBI knew this, why wasn't something done about this some time ago when the warning that we're talking about was so explicit? So then that begs this question. Did the FBI know that ISIS knew about this? Gee, I would certainly hope that our intelligence services, the intelligence arm of the FBI, knew this. The world's premier law enforcement organization, I would hope, knew that terrorists knew this. And if the FBI knew this, how come nobody else knew about it or it was never discussed? Let me tell you something. I don't believe the socialists knew about it or they'd have been screaming about it a long time ago. And so would Republicans, because this should not happen. So where's the blame? Now, there's going to be a lot of blame going around. Unfortunately, yeah, there's going to be a lot of blame. The problem is we're probably never going to find out. We may find out about this because this was so egregious that this individual was in fact able to do this. This has been outed now. So you got to give credit to Yahoo for busting this story out. I guess it was them that busted it out. It was the only one I saw. Yeah. Non-resident immigrants can purchase handguns in Florida provided they meet certain exceptions, including possessing a valid hunting license or working as a representative of a foreign government or law enforcement agency. So now we know that terrorist organizations, and they probably would never consider doing this, would they, can infiltrate foreign law enforcement services or infiltrate government agencies and come over here in the United States and wreak havoc. Huh. When the FBI was questioned about it, they referred questions about it to the ATF. Spokesman for the ATF confirmed it was, in fact, a legal sale, but would not provide details on how Al-Shamrani qualified to purchase the gun. But he did buy a 9mm Glock on July 20th this year. And he did, according to the FBI, use a Florida hunting license to do so. AWR Hawkins, when we come back, don't go away.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
Carr, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 Carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Carr Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
Hi, it's Mark Walters, your host of Armed American Radio. If your company sells only the highest quality products and you're looking for a way to reach these listeners, you're talking to the right guy. Armed American Radio has a package available to fit every budget, from startup to the seasoned advertiser looking for that perfect way to reach this massive audience on roughly 250 stations in the top markets in the nation. We're everywhere, and the show continues to explode across the country after 10 years. Together, we can help you reach a highly engaged and extremely knowledgeable audience. To hear your brand on this huge radio program for less than you ever thought possible and to speak directly with me, reach out to CCW Broadcast Media LLC right away at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. And together, we'll bring your brand to Armed American Radio listeners and keep this powerful voice for gun rights on the airwaves. Again, to speak directly to me, reach out to me at mark@armedamericanradio.org. That's mark@armedamericanradio.org.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. We're right smack in the middle of the program right now. And as I promised, AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News is with us. AWR, how the heck are you doing today, man? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing good. Good to be with you, buddy.
Always a pleasure to have you on. I spent a lot of time over this past week talking about Virginia. You and I talked about it last week. There have been some significant developments since we spoke last. I discussed it. I opened up the program talking about it before Nikki Gozer came on, and I'm no doubt going to be talking about it with Alexander Rubian in the next hour. AWR Hawkins, as we know right now, 93 municipalities, that includes 75 counties and 18, if I'm not mistaken, I have to look at it, total of 18 municipalities and 75 counties for a total of 93 in the state of Virginia have said, I'm not interested in playing pool with you. What are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, it's beautiful. And the governor can act like it doesn't matter all he wants, but it does, or he wouldn't even be commenting on it. You know, he said, I don't mind if counties and municipalities do this, that's fine. You know, they can do that if they want. And that's an untruth. And that's why he also followed that statement by saying, but there will be consequences, of course, if they don't uphold all the laws that Democrats pass. And that's going to be particularly true for gun control. And so he can act like he doesn't care all he wants, but it's a big deal, because what it's going to do is isolate those very few counties that have a high population that vote Democrat. And it's going to show the stark difference between those, that handful of counties, and the rest of the state. And because the rest of the state isn't giving up their guns, and they're not going to do universal background checks. They're not going to do an assault weapons ban. They're not going to do a high-capacity magazine ban. They're just not going to play ball in that way. And so you're going to have a showdown here, and it's going to be a good one.
Let's talk about the showdown, because you're right. I'm going to get some information from Alexander Rubian. He wanted to come on and warn my listeners today about what's happening in Virginia, because he lives it every day in New Jersey. They do confiscate people's products. They do put people in jail in New Jersey. And he can name names. And he will name names, I can promise you. But he's adamant about wanting to come on. There is going to be a showdown at some point in time in Virginia. How do you see it unfolding? Do you believe that Herring, the socialist attorney general in Virginia, will push this to a county and try to make an example of someone, AWR, and force some type of standoff?
Well, you can't predict what that guy's going to do. He's a loose screw, but anything's possible. Anything's possible until somebody knows that the other side's not playing. And I don't know how that's going to come about. You know, in Culpeper County, Sheriff Scott Jenkins, he's going to be a good one in this. He's already said he'll deputize thousands of people that defend the Second Amendment. If he does that, if he literally deputizes them, I doubt they'll ever have to do anything else to defend the Second Amendment. That show of determination alone, the Democrats won't want any part of the PR mess they'd be in if they went in there and tried to do something. So it depends on how they go about it. It's a PR disaster for the Democrats because it's going to show that they take four counties or five, however many they have that are Democrats. And based on the opinion of those five counties, they want to run roughshod over the rest of the state. And Herring and Northam and the rest of them say whatever they want. It's a pending PR disaster. And not only that, it could get, and I'm not suggesting this or calling people to a bang stretch, but it could get bloody. Because as people said, even when Beto O'Rourke was talking, Beto O'Rourke is, he's not a bright human. He's not bright.
No,
I mean,
no.
You know, he's however old he is, he's still skateboarding around. He's not a bright guy. And, you know, even when he was talking, you had John McCain's daughter, Megan, saying, look, there's going to be violence.
Right.
There's going to be blood spilled if they try to do what this guy's saying. And it's the same thing people are going to say about Virginia. And these Democrats will figure that out, but they're going to push it as far as they can push it, hoping the other side will blink. That's where we are right now. We're in a game of who'll blink first. It doesn't look like to me Scott Jenkins of Culpeper County got any intention to blink.
No.
The sheriff Ricky Walker in Amelia County doesn't seem to me like he has any intention to blink. And the 3,000 people who showed up for the Board of Supervisors meeting in Rockingham County, I don't believe they're going to blink. I could go on and on. So it's going to be up to Herring and Northam and the rest of them to do Blinken.
That's essentially what I laid out in my opening segment in the previous hour. They, meaning the Socialist Democrats, have been handed the ball by the citizenry across the state. And button right up there against right up against Richmond, too, in Henrico County. They're getting close to everybody. But they now hold that ball, and they are the ones that are going to have to make a move. I can predict right now for you that the Democrats are, in fact, going to blink. There's no question about it, because the townsfolk around the state of Virginia are not. And they're not going to give up their guns. You know, you just mentioned.
Let me say this.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to say, to your point, because I'm in complete agreement with you there. They've already blinked a little bit.
Yeah.
And that is that Northam last week said that he's going to add a grandfather clause to his SOLF ban. In other words, Steve, 2 weeks ago he was going to ban his SOLF weapons, and that meant you're going to hand them over. Tough nookies. All right. Well, now he started saying, well, here's the deal. If you already have one, you can keep it, that you're going to register with the state. Now, that's not even the final place he's going to be. He's going to water that down even further. That's one blink. There's going to be more blinks. And, if he'll blink on that, he's going to blink on other things. And the best thing that can happen is if we're at 93 counties, municipalities declaring Second Amendment sanctuary now, the best thing can happen is during next week's show to be able to say there are 120.
That's probably going to happen.
It's going to crumble.
That's going to happen. You've already got three quarters of the state. Others are going to follow suit. You just mentioned Rockingham County. Let's talk about that for the next couple minutes in this segment. Over 3,000 attend Virginia County Supervisors meeting and declare a Second Amendment sanctuary. Over 3,000 people in Rockingham County, Virginia, showed up overflowing and said, hell no, get off my lawn. AWR, I know I'm going to be a little redundant here, but they're not going to blink. Those people are not blinking in good old Rockingham County. And the board voted unanimously, right?
Right. And if you listen to the recording of that, anyone who doubts it can listen to the recording of that meeting, and you can hear the tone of the people who spoke in favor of that. Those folks aren't going anywhere. They're just not. And this is really a very simple thing. And this goes a lot further than Virginia. This goes to the Supreme Court or the local district court or whatever. When courts or elected officials think they can usurp God-given rights, they've misread the founding documents because they can't. And you don't have to use force. You don't have to hurt anybody to make the point. So I'm not saying that. But what has to happen is at some point, elected officials have to understand that we, the people, understand how things work. And we laugh at their gun control. We laugh at it. And if they can understand that they can pass all the laws they want, but passing them and enforcing them are two different things. If they can get that through their head, maybe they'll move on again to talk about muffler constriction and, you know, better gas mileage for Ford F-150s, whatever they're going to do, but they'll leave guns alone.
Yeah, everything that they claim a moral superiority over, they don't want to talk about. AWR Hawkins is with me from Breitbart News. A couple other pieces that he's written we'll cover in the next segment when we come back here on the Monster Cast in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I want to ask you a little bit about what's going on in your home state, Kentucky. Democrats filing gun bans and carry restrictions, wanting to do the same thing out in Washington. And then, of course, Parkland dad, Andrew Pollack, pretty much countered Dick's CEO, Ed Stack, the other day. We'll talk about that with AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News when we come back. Don't go away. Hi, it's Mark Walters, your host of Armed American Radio. If your company sells only the highest quality products and you're looking for a way to reach these listeners, you're talking to the right guy. Armed American Radio has a package available to fit every budget, from startup to the seasoned advertiser looking for that perfect way to reach this massive audience on roughly 250 stations in the top markets in the nation. We're everywhere, and the show continues to explode across the country after 10 years. Together, we can help you reach a highly engaged and extremely knowledgeable audience. To hear your brand on this huge radio program for less than you ever thought possible, and to speak directly with me, reach out to CCW Broadcast Media LLC right away at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. And together, we'll bring your brand to Armed American Radio listeners and keep this powerful voice for gun rights on the airwaves. Again, to speak directly to me, reach out to me at mark@armedamericanradio.org. That's mark@armedamericanradio.org.
The finest safes in the world are made right here in the United States of America. At Vault Pro, made in the USA still means something. Don't be fooled by companies that sell cheap foreign-made safes. Owning a gun is one of our most sacred liberties, and with that liberty comes the responsibility to protect our guns with a secure safe. But we don't stop there. At Vault Pro, we also manufacture the highest quality vault doors, storm shelters, and safe rooms. Custom built at your request, we employ high-tech CAD safe and vault door design to protect what's important to you from theft, fire, or weather. When protecting your guns, valuables, and family, invest in the best safes on the market. Vault Pro. Visit online today at VaultProUSA.com. That's VaultProUSA.com. And check out our entire line from the finest handgun safes to modular safe rooms. Vault Pro has you protected. AAR listeners, you'll never know what you might see at VaultProUSA.com. Protect what's important to you with a Vault Pro safe. Vault Pro is a veteran-owned company, strong supporter of Armed American Radio, and the Second Amendment.
The Gun Box is the ultimate quick and accessible handgun safe, ideal for securing your firearm while not carrying on your person. Our cutting-edge technology and innovative safety features provide peace of mind while storing your handgun on a nightstand, desk, countertop, or anywhere you might need fast access. With a simple swipe of a finger, press of a custom key code, or the wave of an RFID card or fob, the Gun Box opens in seconds. Our modern design and sleek lines not only make it a great addition to any space, but is the perfect reason to bring your everyday carry gun out from hiding in the closet or the basement safe. Asking yourself, will my concealed carry weapon fit in the Gun Box? The answer is yes, as the Gun Box fits most full-size handguns with room to spare for extra magazines, a blade, and other items you carry for protection. The Gun Box was designed to be your go-to gun safe and is absolutely the best alternative for fast and reliable handgun storage. Visit us at thegunbox.com and use code AAR at checkout for 10% off any purchase of $259. Order your Gun Box today at thegunbox.com and use code AAR for 10% off.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with the leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
Hey, welcome back. This segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by MyPillow.
Armed American Radio, Monster Cast, AWR Hawkins, back now for another segment. AWR, welcome back. Always a pleasure to have you here, brother. Let's move quick. Kentucky Democrats file gun bans, carry restrictions for incoming governor to sign. You're from Kentucky. What the heck's going on up there, dude?
Well, it's pretty typical for Democrats. I mean, you had Governor Bevin defeated, so you have Andy Beshear coming in. And people need to understand that in Kentucky, you know, on state-level offices, the Republicans just ran the table. Literally ran it, except for governor. And that's because Bevin was such a mess. And Bevin has proved his true colors since then. He pardoned a guy who was convicted of beheading a woman. He pardoned that guy. So that's one of his acts on the way out that he's doing. So that's why Kentuckians rejected Bevin. And that allowed the Democrat to win. That's how you need to frame that. But now that he's in, the Democrats who are in the House and Senate are going ahead, and this is particularly in the House, they're putting forward gun control that they want the incoming governor to sign. It deals with things like a repeal of permitless carry or constitutional carry, a ban on assault weapons, a ban on high-capacity magazines, all the same tired gun controls. Basically, the Democrat Party of Bill Clinton era is alive and well in Kentucky, and they're pushing the same gun controls that old Billy Jeff wanted when he was in office. That's it. And
does it stand a chance?
They don't have a prayer. Don't have a prayer. It's all showboating. It's all soapboxing. They don't have a prayer. And Trump will win Kentucky. You know, people tried to say that governor losing Kentucky means Trump's in trouble. Trump will win Kentucky. I'd almost bet you a dinner at any restaurant you can name that Trump will win 80-20 in Kentucky. He'll at least win 70-30. And that's the reason you say, why is that important? That's important because this gun control is not going to fly. It's just not going to happen. It's all a joke.
You know,
Democrats are a joke, though. So you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Sense. Yeah, no question about it. And you're absolutely correct on that. What's going to happen with Trump in 2020 there, particularly after this joke of this impeachment, which nobody was paying attention to, by the way, until now. Now people are starting to pay attention to it and they're standing. Look, they're looking at who's in front of the microphones. Nadler, Schiff, Maxine Waters and Pelosi. These are lunatics. The vast majority of Americans in between the coasts know these four people for what they are. Ideologue lunatics. It's starting to sink in now what this party is capable of and what it is they're trying to do and just how much hatred there and rage that they're actually filled with. Let's go to Andrew Pollack. You wrote this, and you know my heart breaks for this guy, and you know him very well, don't you? You and Andrew have become pretty good friends.
Yeah, Andrew and I are good friends, and I have the highest degree of respect for him. Lost his daughter to that animal, and I don't want to put words in Andrew's mouth, but I'm far more angry at the people who put the gun-free zones in place than I am even that animal, because when he came in there, as a matter of course, he should have just been filled with holes, but no one could shoot back because the Democrats thought it was smart to be sure teachers were unarmed. So I should just say I'm equally mad at him and at them, because I don't want to take any blame away from the animal that carried it out.
Andrew Pollack, ladies and gentlemen, is the individual who lost his beautiful daughter, Meadow, 14 years old, to the animal, as A.W.R. Hawkins is describing the murderer at Parkland. It should never have happened. But and this is an interesting article. I found this interesting because you wouldn't generally connect Andrew Pollack and that goofball socialist running Dick's Sporting Goods who feels it's okay to lose, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars as a social justice warrior. Why the board is still keeping this guy around is beyond me. Oh, it could be the fact that it's his business. Dick's Sporting Goods CEO Ed Stack and Pollack is generally not a connection. Well, what's going on with this? Why are they connected here in your story?
Because Ed Stack makes broad general statements that he, you know, you could understand his gun control if you were in his shoes when he sat with Parkland families and they talked to him and yada 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 yada. And so, you know, Andrew made sure to stand up and go, well, he never talked to me. And, you know, because I think it's important, Ed Stack giving this impression that he went around and talked to all these people, but what he did is cherry picked and he talked to families who were pro gun control. So, you know, if you're going to sit around and talk to David Hogg, yep, you're going to get pro-gun control. That's right. But if you're going to talk to Andrew Pollack, who understands the presence of guns in the hands of good guys are a key to keeping schools safe, well, you're going to get a completely different message. So Stack made sure he avoided that message. And that's what Pollack wants to get out. He wants everybody to know.
You know, there's a lot of parallels to that. He avoided that message. Well, that's what the mainstream press does. They don't talk about it because it doesn't fit their narrative. Or if they do talk about it, they've got to create a new narrative because everything is about getting you to think about what they want you to think about and frame it the way they want to frame it. Andrew Pollack's tweet, and you have a link to that here on your site or on your page in this piece. Dick's CEO Ed Stack didn't meet with me. He is advocating for universal background checks, which wouldn't have made a difference in my daughter getting murdered. Dick's will continue to go downhill and lose money under his leadership. And I think if I were Andrew Pollack, AWR, I'd be a little bit perturbed about that. And I'd want to call him out and say, why don't you meet with me, Mr. Stack? And let's do it publicly. Do you think Ed Stack would meet with him if it was requested of him?
No way. No. Do you think Nancy Pelosi would meet with me? I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's no way because the message doesn't fit the template. And Ed Stack is, you know. I don't know. I don't have anything good to say about the guy. So that's it. I mean, anybody who, you know, I wrote at Breitbart and it exploded when we covered it. This guy not only banned the sale of AR-15s and high capacity magazines at his store, but he rounded up all the ones that were still in inventory. Instead of sending them back to the manufacturers, he destroyed them. and it was over $5 million worth of rifles. He destroyed them. Why? Because he didn't want them to fall into the hands of private citizens.
That's right.
I mean, the arrogance is unreal. So, you know, see, this is why the left and I don't agree. You have these leftist convictions. That's great. You want to take care of the poor? That's great. I mean, I do too, but I'm just talking about their position. Well, why don't you give those guns to the poor? Why don't you find a single mom with three kids at home, and right now our only protection is a deadbolt and a baseball bat?
Right.
Why didn't you give her that Smith & Wesson, a Sport Model 2 AR with a 15, 30-round mag so she could protect her kids? You want to do something for the poor? Why didn't you do that? No. Instead, they destroy it to be sure no one can have it. So that's really telling of the left. The left is all talk, no help. And it's all a top-down structure they have in place that ultimately the people who are already at the top benefit and no one else.
I tell you, man, it's really sad to see. It really is sad to see, particularly when you know Andrew Pollack's story. It's hard for me to look at a picture of him and his daughter. I have a daughter that was just 1 year apart.
Yeah.
I mean, and you have kids. It's really, really difficult.
I want to say one thing. I think she was 18, not 14. I just want to point that out. Or 17, maybe.
17? Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
regardless, it's just so hard to look at the picture. And to see him out there fighting for the things that actually would work and the mainstream press outside the norm of ABC, NBC, they won't even talk to him. Won't even talk to the guy.
Right. You know what they do to him?
They want to hear what he has to say.
In case the listeners don't know, what the left says to him, they go, here's a guy trying to get famous off his daughter's death. Yeah. Andrew Pollack's not pursuing fame. What fame? That's not what he's pursuing. He's trying to make schools safe. But see, they frame things that way so they can ignore him. And yeah, they don't have to deal with his message. It's right to your point. And that's why CNN, MSNBC, and the rest of them, they don't ever talk about him because they can reject him under that lie that he's seeking fame. I know this guy. I'm not going to say what I know. I know how he travels. I know what he does. I know where he is. And trust me, if you knew how he lived, you would know. This is not a guy seeking fame right here.
Yeah, this is Andrew Pollack's the real deal. AWR Hawkins, thanks for sticking up with me for two segments. I appreciate it much. Rob Pincus is coming up next for the Pro Tip of the Week. AWR, we'll talk to you later in the week. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark Walters, your host of Armed American Radio. If your company sells only the highest quality products and you're looking for a way to reach these listeners, you're talking to the right guy. Armed American Radio has a package available to fit every budget, from startup to the seasoned advertiser looking for that perfect way to reach this massive audience on roughly 250 stations in the top markets in the nation. We're everywhere, and the show continues to explode across the country after 10 years. Together, we can help you reach a highly engaged and extremely knowledgeable audience. To hear your brand on this huge radio program for less than you ever thought possible and to speak directly with me, reach out to CCW Broadcast Media LLC right away at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. And together, we'll bring your brand to Armed American Radio listeners and keep this powerful voice for gun rights on the airwaves. Again, to speak directly to me, reach out to me at mark@armedamericanradio.org. That's mark@armedamericanradio.org.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka letting you know that the Desperado Sport Fishing Crew in Virginia Beach, Virginia supports Armed American Radio and our right to bear arms. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast. I blew it last week because I forgot Rob was traveling. I didn't blow it this week. Rob, I know you're not traveling because you're on the line with us right now. Welcome to the program. I'm going to turn you loose for 8 solid minutes. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. I actually am traveling, and yet we are still getting the Personal Events Network Pro Tip of the Week here on Armed American Radio.
Go for it. I'll be quiet, and you tear it up.
Sounds good. I'm going to talk about the skill development cycle. I just got done a week of instructor development at Reno Guns and Range in Reno, Nevada. I had a lot of the leadership from the Intuitive Defensive Shooting Program out there. We had a lot of new instructor candidates, did some great developmental work for both sides of that house, the leadership and the new students. And one of the things that we kept talking about, as one does with a cycle, is the skill development cycle. So I want to make sure that as people are listening to these pro tips, as people look at the stuff we put out online, they're thinking about how does this actually work into my training and practice regimen at home? Because if you're getting ready for armed defense, if you're getting ready for unarmed defense, even if you're thinking about security, safety, response plans for your family, understanding the difference between training and practice and then understanding how to efficiently and effectively evaluate your ability to perform these skills or drills is going to be really important for you. So let's talk about it. Skill development cycle. There are 3 steps in any skill development cycle. They are to learn a skill, to practice a skill, and then to evaluate your ability to apply that skill in the way that you actually might need it. When it comes to survival skills, that last part can be tricky, but let's start at the beginning. We're going to learn a skill in as much context of reality as possible. The reasons that we say that specifically when it comes to armed defense, talking about guns, obviously you can't train hyper-realistically right from the beginning. But we want to stay as congruent as we can with our intended context of use. What that means is you shouldn't be practicing and learning skills exclusively in isolation. When you're out at the range, remember, hitting at that bullseye target with your, you know, perfect stance, breath control, trigger manipulation, sight alignment, sight picture, all the things that you can do in a controlled environment, you may or may not actually be developing any meaningful skill that can be applied in the real world. So learning your skill should be done as realistically as possible. You don't want to learn with an overemphasis on things like breath control or supporting your structure on your skeleton, standing up perfectly straight, those kinds of things that you should absolutely do from a marksmanship standpoint if you're just having fun with guns or trying to win a competition, but that you won't realistically be doing when you're defending yourself or those that you care about. You're much more likely to be in a lowered center of gravity position, for example. You might not need to use your sights in a close quarters armed defensive situation, so you shouldn't just exclusively rely on your sights when you're shooting at chest targets, for example, at 9, 12, maybe even up to 15 feet. Those most likely scenarios call for intuitive unsighted fire and a lowered center of gravity shooting position. So when you're learning how to do defensive shooting, you should be doing it in a way that is congruent with reality. The reasons that we step away from one-to-one reality, again, are complexity or safety. That means if you aren't skilled enough or experienced enough yet to do what it is you want to do, let's say at speed, in other words, as fast as you can, you want to slow down. Maybe something like presentation from the holster, as opposed to going directly from your startle reaction all the way through a multiple round string of fire into that high center chest area of a threat target. You want to break it down into steps. And because, again, it's complex, and there are safety issues. So you might do your reaction, then establish your grip, make sure your grip is good, solid on the gun before it ever leaves the holster, then pull the gun up out of the holster, making sure it's clear of the holster, then orienting the gun towards the target along your line of sight. Once the gun is turned, then driving the gun out to full extension while attaining your two-handed grip. So those are the examples of isolated steps that it's important that you actually learn before you start practicing presentation from the holster in a realistic context, because that is the second step of the skill development cycle, is to get your practice. So that skill development really happens during practice. Yes, the practice will also help you maintain your skill, but it's really where you're going to get better. And it's incredibly important that you not practice skills in isolation. So once you've learned them, once you've gotten through the safety issues and the complexity issues of something like presentation from the holster, it's really important to practice very realistically. So you process a command, you simulate getting startled, you get that gun from under concealment, if we're talking about concealed carry for personal defense, or again, defense of those that you care about in the public space. Maybe you're talking about openly carrying if you're in law enforcement, if you're a security guard, if you're in the military, or if you're thinking about home defense, you might strap on a battle belt or put on a paddle holster in a home defense scenario, and then you're thinking about presenting maybe even from a staged position. But again, practicing realistically is going to be incredibly important. And that, of course, is going to lead you then to the third step of the skill development cycle. And that is to evaluate your ability to apply your skills realistically. And it's very important that you're evaluating your ability to apply the skill, not just isolated performance. We really say that the transition is made from learning or training into the practice stage of this cycle once you have shown and demonstrated that you can perform the skill in isolation. And it's the contextual application of the skill that's really important. So again, you think about shooting for someone who carries concealed. If you're only shooting by picking the gun off the table or from the ready position, if you never practice that multiple round string of fire coming from the holster going directly to the shooting position, well, then you really haven't practiced it realistically. And certainly to evaluate shooting for a defensive oriented person, someone who's carrying a gun in the public space, if you're going to evaluate your ability to shoot, but you're not going to do it from the holster, then you're not really evaluating your ability to apply the shooting skill that you might need. And that's one of the things that's lacking when we look at a lot of the training programs out there, and even, unfortunately, some of the concealed carry permit programs out there. You know, I'm a big fan of constitutional carry. I think if you can legally own a gun, you should be able to legally carry it in the public space for your defense. I think that's what the Second Amendment's all about. But I don't think that we should shirk our responsibility to train and practice. And part of that evolution needs to be a realistic evaluation of our ability to apply those skills so that we can go into the world armed legally and appropriately be confident in our skills that we could actually use. And if you're going through a program, and I'm not aware of any state-mandated program, for example, that requires presentation from a holster to a multiple-round shot string. But if you're evaluating your shooting in isolation, you're not evaluating your ability to shoot on demand, so to speak, coming from the holster, getting that two-handed grip, driving out to extension, then you're not really evaluating the right thing, and you might, in fact, be going out into the world, unfortunately, overconfident. And the last thing we want is our people who are armed recklessly, who are overconfident in their ability, and then end up making a mistake, getting themselves hurt or someone else hurt. Let's talk about the end of the skill development cycle. We learn something, then we practice it, we evaluate our ability to apply it, and then what happens? Well, if your evaluation is lacking, if you think that you could or should be doing better in terms of applying a certain skill set that you've been learning and you have learned and you've been practicing, then you simply go back to that second step and you get some more practice in. If, on the other hand, you find that your evaluation is satisfactory and that you have achieved the goals you've set for yourself, those are going to be subjective goals based on potential and need, then you go back to the first step and you either learn a new skill or you learn that old skill in a new context. For example, if you practice standing, now you're going to start learning how to present from the holster seated and get some practice at seated shooting and then eventually evaluate your ability to apply your seated shooting skills in the future. That's the skill development cycle, this week's Personal Defense Network pro tip on Armed American Radio.
Rob, I got to jump in, and with the 20 seconds I have remaining, where does my dry fire fit into this routine? Training, practice?
Dry fire is going to be practice. You know, you can't really evaluate your ability if you're not doing live fire, and I say you can't really learn unless you're learning with live fire and with that recoil management, but you can do practice that is dry fire. Certainly things like presentation from the holster, you can practice with a dry gun, a training gun, a cert pistol, and you want to mix that in with live fire, but it can be a good way to develop skill and to maintain skills that you've already learned.
PersonalDefenseNetwork.com/AAR. Rob Pincus, thank you, man. It's hard to stay quiet. I really enjoy those segments every single week. We'll be back in the next hour with Alexander Rubian. Don't go away.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom
on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.